Y'all, I am hungry. I'm hungry for deeper faith and a transformation. The past few years have had some different experiences that have been a little bit more difficult than I anticipated them to be. And I found myself calling out to God and asking God to fill me with the fruits of His Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God humbled me and told me that I wasn't putting myself in the proper posture for those fruits to grow. And so that is a piece of what I want to share with you today, the work that God has been doing in my life and the way I hope that we will continue to transform and grow together. Stories about experiences with my Grandy are some of my favorite. Perhaps you too have been blessed with someone in your life who's able to take every ordinary experience and turn it into a lifelong lesson and memory. For me, my Grandy was the epitome of this. There were snakes in the grass, shot put in the backyard, rewiring things, a few mishaps, piano lessons, bless his heart, driving lessons, and countless other experiences. But one of my favorites involves wooden arms. You see, my grandfather was on the varsity swim and dive team at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Go Tar Heels. He missed the Olympics by 1/100th of a second. He won a slew of medals in senior competitions, and my brother and I grew up with a pool in our backyard. We spent many hours in the pool with him, playing and laughing, splashing and doggy paddling our way from one end to the next. But then the expectations grew. As we became comfortable in the water, the expectation to be able to execute those strokes with the proper form strengthened. And one day, my grandfather took us on a special field trip. We got to go to his best friend's woodworking shop. Awesome. I was pumped. When we got there, we laid down on a piece of plywood, our arms in a very specific position. They were traced and cut out. What kid doesn't want wooden arms, right? You guys remember that next year, you can ask for some wooden arms. When we got home, we went straight back to the pool, and those wooden arms that were so cool there in the beginning were taped to our arms. And then we were placed back in the water and instructed to swim. It was a little bit awkward at first. We struggled against the stiffness of the wood. Our arms wanted to move in ways that the wood would not let us. Those wooden arms helped to train our bodies and our minds to swim properly. We wore those wooden arms for each and every lap until we had developed the proper muscle memory to be able to swim with accurate form. My Grandy was using those wooden arms to help my brother and I get into the right posture to be able to swim correctly. Those wooden arms helped prune the sloppy and wasteful movements from our swimming so that our energy was more centrally focused on all that it took to be able to swim with accuracy. Oftentimes, hindsight provides us with that 20/20 vision that helps us understand why things are happening a certain way. I can assure you, as a child, I did not anticipate our field trip to end up the way it did. And I can say with even greater confidence that I did not believe that those wooden swimming arms would prove successful, but they did. Do you remember a time when you were younger? Maybe it was with a parent or a grandparent, a coach or a teacher. You didn't understand what you were doing or why you were doing it, but later on you saw that it was a pruning moment for you. It's fascinating. If only I, or perhaps we, could be willing to be transformed more readily. Over the last several weeks, we have been engaged in the season of Advent. The season of Advent comes filled with its own wooden arms, traditions, and intentional ways of doing things that help center and focus our minds on the reason for the season. During the season of Advent, we're waiting with great expectation to welcome the Christ child. We're waiting to celebrate that moment when God became flesh and dwelt among us. We're waiting for that moment when the separation between God and humankind was restored. Coming to us through an unwed teenager, lowly and lying in a manger, this is how our Savior entered the world, modeling humility and dependence upon our Creator God from the get-go. There's something beautiful that comes about the dependence of children. As babies, there is nothing that they can do for themselves. Each and every need must be met through the attention and care of someone else. And even though he was the Messiah, the chosen one, he still came to us as a newborn, the one who was willing to die on the cross for each and every one of us. And I stand here in awe of his presence, here in this, his house, with us, his children. How humbling that Christ, the Savior of the world, would come forth as a baby, the most dependent of positions. And during this season, I am reminded of the developmental stages our infant Messiah went through. I love to imagine the Christ child so innocently and helplessly resting in the arms of his mother and father. I imagine the ways his cries ushered in the care and provision of his parents. I imagine the way his giggles brought forth smiles and a sense of awe to all who were present to hear him. I imagine the tender tango that parents and child learned to dance together, and the way Mary and Joseph were able to meet the needs of Jesus before he uttered them completely. It's powerful to think about these developmental stages and then to think about the stages that we go through as followers of Christ. It's powerful to reflect on and find rest in the arms of the Almighty God who looks upon each and every one of us with an even deeper tenderness than a parent looks upon their child. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" Friends, our Creator knows needs that are beyond what even we are aware of. He knows the world. He knows each of you. And he's walking with you each and every step of each and every day. I imagine the Almighty as just being there. No matter the time of the day, he doesn't have a calendar. He doesn't slumber or sleep. His word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is there no matter what. When you cry, imagine the Almighty holding you in his arms. When your body hurts, imagine the great physician hurting and feeling your pain. When you're filled with angst and fear over the turmoil of the day, lean hard into the Prince of Peace. And there is plenty of turmoil in our day, from physical illness to spiritual emptiness, from war-torn lands to outcast people, from senseless murder to abandoned children. We live in a weary and broken land. The lectionary scripture for today is filled with turmoil as well. Shortly after celebrating the birth of the Messiah, we are guided to the horrors that took place as Herod ordered the murder of children 2 years and younger. The Savior of the world survived this tragedy in part because his parents remained connected to the source of life. They remained connected to the Almighty God, and they were obedient to the directives given to them. Connection, obedience. Earlier this year, I was reading Transformational Discipleship. It's a wonderful book that emphasizes the importance of keeping the gospel as the core of who you are and why you do what you do. One particular thought that was shared in this book which you've already heard me talk about today, is remembering that we are responsible for the growth that takes place. God provides the transformation, but we have to show up. We have to stay connected to the vine of Christ. As it says in Scripture, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We're shown time and time again in both the Old and New Testaments of the transforming power that accompanies staying connected to the vine and obedient to the Almighty. You see, the reality is we are all disciples of something or someone and will either be conformed or transformed, but we can't be both. And transformation leads to a hunger for deeper faith. Take Moses, for example. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, God transformed Moses. It's so easy for us to focus on the reality that it is God who transforms us and forget that we are also responsible for the growth that takes place. God transformed Moses, but Moses had to walk up the mountain. Moses had to show up. And like Moses, we have to put ourselves in the right posture for growth to take place. We need to prepare our spiritual muscles to accept the growth that God has in store for us. In the scripture that I shared earlier, Jesus reminds us that we need to be pruned in all areas of our life so that we can be fruitful in all areas of our life. This pruning takes away the wasteful things that we spend our time and energy on so that we can strengthen and deepen our faith in Christ. Engaging spiritual disciplines like Bible study, prayer, service, fasting, worship, many others, they may feel awkward at first. Our schedules, our routines, our mindsets, even our desires may struggle against the structure that engaging our faith provides. But the more we practice, the more we invest in our relationship with Christ, the more natural those practices will become. As we seek to nurture our hunger for deeper faith, I believe that we'll find ourselves longing more and more for the very things that help keep us connected to the vine of Christ. My grandy met my brother and I where we were in each stage of our becoming swimmers. He helped get us in the right posture to grow. He didn't let us stay in the position of floundering in the pool when he knew that there was another level that could be achieved. He didn't leave us with wooden swimming arms on when he knew we could swim properly without them. He didn't leave us in the backyard. He encouraged us on to competitions. So too, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, our hunger for deeper faith should continue to grow. As we stay connected to the vine of Christ, our spiritual muscles should strengthen. The more knowledge we have, the greater accountability we owe. Friends, God isn't going to leave us floundering in our faith. But that spiritual hunger that we feel, it can only be met by the Almighty. We have to put ourselves in the posture of being transformed. And so I wonder, what practices or wooden arms will you engage in the year ahead as you continue on the journey of being transformed into the likeness of Christ? As Paul says in Romans, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Please pray with me. God, as we abide in you, may we seek to satisfy our hunger for deeper faith through our relationship with you, and in so doing, allow ourselves not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. So we come